The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Ooh, we got some stuff to talk about today. 32-year drought in L.A. is over. I'm going to tell you what it's really all about. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And let me bring you the straight dope. Oh, what's going on in L.A. right now? The Dodgers have finally done it. I watched from 2010 to 2016 when I was doing radio in L.A. with Marcellus Wiley and doing Sports Nation also for ESPN. I watched as Clayton Kershaw was in the middle of carving out a regular season legacy as the best pitcher who ever lived, best starting pitcher who ever lived in the regular season. The quality of his prime, I think, says that. I mean, he didn't throw 300 innings a year like Koufax did, but the game is different today. The dominance of Clayton Kershaw's prime has been as good as anyone's, and it's lasted longer and more, and it's been more consistent than anyone since the dead ball era, which is why he has not only the lowest ERA since the dead ball era for all starting pitchers, but also the lowest adjusted ERA. You know, ballpark and year, era you're pitching, all that stuff. Ever. So it's not apples to oranges, it's apples to apples, best ever. And he couldn't get it done in the playoffs. And folks, I've been saying, Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale, big game pitchers, the Dodgers won multiple World Series. And I'm talking about the L.A. Dodgers, forget about Brooklyn for a second. And then Fernando Valenzuela, a big game pitcher, 81, the Dodgers win the World Series. And then Oral Hershiser, big game pitcher, 88. The Dodgers win the World Series, and Clayton Kershaw has choked and choked and choked. No World Series for the Dodgers. Like the Seinfeld episode with the soup Nazi. No soup for you. No World Series for you. And then what happened? Clayton Kershaw not only, and listen, the standards are different now. Five and dive in the old days was no good. Nowadays, that's what people do. Six innings, one run, eight Ks in his first start. And then in Game 5, everyone's like, oh, Kershaw could have closed out the World Series. He did something far more important when it was knotted 2-2. Two games apiece, the way the Dodgers lost Game 4, it felt like the baseball gods had decided Tampa was going to win the World Series. And Clayton Kershaw came out and was the stopper the next day, 5 2/3. Now, Dave Roberts takes him out. Was that the right move or not? Well, they won the game, and they won the World Series. By the way, Dave Roberts, that took guts. Because on the one hand, everyone's criticizing Roberts and other managers of Kershaw, too. Well, the real problem is you can't leave him in past six innings, because in the seventh later, that's when he really blows up. Third time through the lineup, Roberts took him out and was criticized in the moment for it. What is he doing? Turns out it was the right decision. And last night, Kevin Cash does the same thing to Blake Snell. Was dealing. Blake Snell was dealing. Now, by the way, let's say he leaves Blake Snell in. Dodgers may still score off Blake Snell. And if not Blake Snell, later in the game they could score. It's a one-run game, guys. It's not like that's the reason Tampa lost. I'd have left Blake Snell in. That's not the reason they lost. They may have won anyway. It's a one-run game. And by the way, Blake Snell had given up the tying run. He'd given up the base runner. He put the tying run on base, and it was a base hit. Right? So it's not like... And by the way, you're about to face the lineup for the third time. Cash thought better to go with a fresh arm. I didn't. I would not have done it. But I think you could actually make the argument. The Dodgers won the World Series. Clayton Kershaw finally came through, and the Dodgers won the World Series. By the way, as a Yankees fan, I can tell you, see, Andrew Friedman, for everyone who's like, oh, the analytics. See, that's the problem with analytics. The analytics said take Blake Snell out, and you listen to the analytics. Oh, shut up. Do you know how stupid you have to be to come on, stop that. The analytics. The analytics are a tool. And let's say you're 50-50 without that tool, right? Am I making the right choice or not? I don't know. Anything better that increases your odds past a 50-50, kind of like shot in the dark. Do I do this or that? I don't know. I'll just, you know, blindfolded. I'll just make a choice. And it's like flipping a coin, 50-50. Anything that helps you make a choice better than that, that's upside. If the analytics are right 70% of the time, or help you make the right choice, or make a choice that's 70% better, or more correct more of the time, 70% more of the time, that's amazing. That doesn't mean 30% is a huge percentage. It means one out of three times, basically, you're going to be wrong. The analytics will be wrong. But it's better than 50-50, and it's better than the guy's gut, usually, right? That's why the entire sport is that way. And by the way, there's no way to prove that, you know, he can't prove a counterfactual. What happens if he leaves Snell in? He's dealing, maybe he makes it to the seventh inning, the eighth inning. The relief pitchers come in, the same thing could happen easily. Because, by the way, the Dodgers didn't give up any more runs. What'd that have to do with Blake Snell? So the Rays entire staff, including Snell, would have had to hold the Dodgers to no runs the entire game to avoid extra innings at least. You can't say that cost them the game. But Andrew Friedman, like he takes over the Dodgers. Understand, he left Tampa. The Dodgers poached him from the Tampa Bay Rays. And the Tampa Bay Rays left in place the kind of architecture that he had created there. The foundation. And then he brought what he did to the Dodgers. And guess what happened? Those two meet in the World Series. This is the analytics World Series. And I'll say something else about Friedman as a Yankees fan, as I was going to say before. Brian Cashman's a very good GM, New York. He's very good. He's, you know, upper third GM in baseball, I think. That's not good enough for the Yankees. Not even close. Why is that good enough? It's not. That's why the Yankees win the World Series once every blue moon. Andrew Friedman created left a blueprint for success in Tampa and brought it with him to the Dodgers, and they played money ball with money and just won the World Series. Friedman is an elite GM. That's the guy Yankees should have hired, should have gotten rid of Cashman. As good as he is, he's not the best. And why shouldn't they have the best? Know who has the best? The Dodgers. And they won. Look at what's happening in Los Angeles right now. The Dodgers, the Lakers, the Rams are good. The Chargers have a quarterback. Look at what's happening. And Los Angeles, you're welcome for the Lakers. I reverse jinxed the Lakers. I'm a basketball jinx. I changed allegiances from the Knicks to the Lakers. And as soon as I did, the Lakers went through the worst period in their franchise history. And I thought, how am I going to undo this curse, the Max Kellerman curse? And I figured it out. I'll pick against the Lakers. I'll take the Clippers to win the championship. And sure enough, like that, it worked. But see, you can't just fool the basketball gods by saying it out loud and then snickering behind their back. You have to actually, like, sell yourself. So I did. I made a great sacrifice for the Lakers, and it worked. I get the credit, Raj. And now the Dodgers. What has happened in L.A.? Let me tell you what. L.A. has always been a major market, our second biggest market in the country. And it's a warm weather city, unlike New York. So for many, it's the most desirable market, many athletes. I mean, if California didn't have state income tax, forget it. And no one would ever play anywhere else. And so they were like, you know, the Dodgers were a powerhouse, but they were not like the best team in baseball. And the Clippers, you know, were an interesting team. but were never really a powerhouse. And the town didn't have football anymore. And what happened? Well, they got rid of McCourt. The Dodgers did. Bad ownership. Remember how dark those days were with McCourt? Gave him the boot. And by the way, we feel really sorry for these owners who got kicked out. They made billions, right? And Magic Johnson fronted the group, the Guggenheim group that came in, bought the Dodgers, and now you're looking at the World Series championship. The Lakers, the greatest owner in the history of professional team sports, by so much it's embarrassing. The late, great Dr. Jerry Buss passed away. And essentially, if not on his deathbed, at least among his wishes that would outlast him, was that he could use the Lakers in such a way, which is a family business, really. You know, as opposed, it's not like some faceless corporation that purchases the Lakers and here's another way for them to make money or as a prestige purpose. This is how the Buss family makes money. And he wanted to keep his family together. The only way Jeannie and Jim could succeed is if they were communicating, right? It didn't work. But Jeannie gave it a try. She gave it a real shot and probably kept her brother, who was not a good enough owner, not a good enough head of basketball operations. Not a knock against Jim. I mean, that's how it goes. As I just said, if your dad owns the team, I don't care if you start in the mailroom. If your dad owns the team, who's to say you're the most qualified? You're the owner's son. And as I said, for the Yankees, Cashman, who's excellent, is not good enough because he's not the best. If you're the Yankees, if you're the Lakers, you have to have the best. The best. Not the one of the top three. The best. There's no excuse not to. You're the number one franchise. And Jeannie stayed with Jim a year longer than she should have because she's being a good family member and trying to abide by her late father's wishes. Dying wishes. Stayed with him 1 year longer than she ought to have. And so that was 4 years, right? Maybe she should have said goodbye after three. Jeannie then did her thing, independent of her dad, for the last three seasons. And in the third year, she wins the championship. The Clippers, Donald Sterling. Oh, the worst. He was the worst owner in sports. Adam Silver gave him the boot. You bring in Ballmer. Ballmer builds a new facility, is player-friendly, brings in Doc Rivers, the whole thing. And the Clippers didn't win the championship, but damn it, they got farther than they've ever been. Game 7 of the second round. I mean, it's hilarious that it's Game 7 of the second round. That's the farthest they've ever been. Nevertheless, they were in the title hunt all year and all playoffs, basically. Right? Bad owners. Goodbye. Good ones come in. An organization, a fish rots from the head down, and the opposite is also true. What would the opposite be? Is it good from the bottom up? No. The opposite is, it's good from the top down, too. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. The Dodgers did it. 32 years, they did it. And I'll say one thing quickly, and I want to get to Ryan Clark. L.A. is a series of largely not connected suburbs. And it's racially and ethnically extremely diverse, but it's economically segregated and therefore not really integrated. I noticed this even when I used to take my daughter to the park when we first moved there. Lots of ethnic and racial groups represented all over the park, but in their own little cliques. I'm from New York, like it's a melting pot, right? Everyone's mixed in together. It was not like that in L.A., except for the Lakers, except for the Dodgers. Sports is where everyone in L.A. comes together, and it's what makes that town a city. It's what makes that area a town. Ryan Clark, NFL analyst, joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. What's going on, Ryan?
What's up, my man? How you doing? I'm just glad you finally let me on the show, bro.
They just told me that you were on 30 seconds ago. By the way, that was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Nice to show up late to the show and then blame me, Ryan. Ryan, I know we should supposed to talk football and everything, but you mentioned what a Kobe Bryant fan you were on First Take today. And the year that the first championship since the tragic passing of Kobe and his daughter Gianna in that terrible helicopter crash, the Lakers win the championship. And they shout Kobe out the whole time. AD hits a winning shot and he mouths, "Kobe," like a generation of kids do, you know, shooting a crumpled up paper into a waste paper basket. "Kobe." And then the Dodgers win the World Series. And what does that mean to you as a Kobe fan?
Man, it was amazing. I'll be honest. I really could care less. Like, I was a Kobe fan. Like, I wasn't a Lakers fan. Like, I could care less that the Dodgers won, or maybe even the Lakers most years. But to have him remembered with every step of the way of those championships, to have those players get opportunities to bring his name up for ESPN to continuously run, you know, old Kobe film, or to continuously run, you know, those guys getting opportunities to talk about him. It was amazing for me. It was almost therapeutic. And I think, you know, I don't know if a week goes by where I don't talk about my fandom for him, or I don't talk about, honestly, crying in my sweet potato fries in the airport when I found out it happened. And so to get an opportunity to relive him in a positive way, that's not just talking about the fact that we lost him, but talking about how much he has affected other big-time athletes and affected a culture, I thought it was amazing. And so I can only imagine for those people who are lifelong Los Angeles sports fans how amazing it was to continue hearing about someone who was a hero to many of the people who grew up there.
Well, look. There are Lakers fans and there are Kobe fans. And in the Venn diagram, there's a huge overlap. A lot of Lakers fans are Kobe fans and vice versa. But Kobe has his own fans that are also not Lakers fans, but that feel good for L.A. and the Lakers right now because of Kobe. L.A. should know that. I guess we're supposed to talk some NFL. You and I, Ryan. But
we don't have to, bro. We can talk about anything. We can talk about the fact that John Jones is mad that they're trying to say Habib is the GOAT. We can talk about anything you want.
Yeah,
man.
Okay, so Ryan's very into combat sports, as am I, and obviously basketball, right? And Ryan Clark can be a generalist. Were you into the World Series?
A little bit. Not as much. Honestly, not as much as I have been before it went into the bubble.
Right.
I was honestly, the things I was more concerned about with this World Series, because it was the Dodgers, was how well Kershaw would pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to some of the conversation of Mookie Betts starting to be talked about in the same way Mike Trout is being talked about.
Yeah.
You know, obviously both 5'2 guys, but also Mookie Betts is now, because of how baseball is being played and because of the time of year it is, he was in a situation that Mike Trout's really never been in.
Yep.
And, you know, for as much as we love these great baseball players, they make their names in October.
Like, exactly that's what, right. That's by the way, it's exactly right. I like Mike Trout is, to me, it's not like regular season. Again, I don't think it's as close as other people think. I think Mike Trout's clearly the best player in baseball.
100%.
But why would I discount extremely high leverage games where Trout's barely played in them, and when he didn't hit. And Mookie Betts just did that, right? Like, you can't discount that. That counts. Robin Lundberg, who used to produce me on the radio, he was my researcher way back in the day on Around the Horn and IMAX, and now does stuff for Sports Illustrated, for SI.com, tweeted out today that, you know, he doesn't know if he's better than Mike Trout, but if he could be any baseball player, he'd want to be Mookie Betts. And Ryan, I know exactly what he means.
Yeah, you got to think about the moment too, though, Max. You know, the Mike Trout thing is what we hear and what we study. Like, I have a facility here, and this is the reason I got into baseball after I retired. And one of my partners won 2 World Series. So we constantly talk about athletes in
who's
baseball.
Your partner? Like, hold on. Who's your partner that won 2 World Series?
His name's Ryan Terrio. He won a World Series in San Francisco and in Chicago.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, and so when I talk to him and he's talking about these things, I started to say, okay, because he's always, and this is off the subject, he's always sponsoring inner city kids and a lot of African American kids here in Baton Rouge at our facility because he believes those type of athletes can be transcendent players. He played with Barry Bonds, and he talks about getting people who aren't just skilled, who don't just work on playing baseball from a young age, but are true athletes, play multiple sports, and then putting them in baseball. Mm-hmm. And to me, when I look at Mookie Betts and I look at Mike Trout, that's the type of athletes I see.
Yep.
But as we've learned to love our athletes, isn't it about clutch moments?
Isn't it
about timing out that hit and getting in the home?
It is, although there's a lot of debate about whether clutch hitting actually exists. Whether it's just an issue of sample size. Nevertheless, what you did is what you did. Mookie Betts is in Boston. Yes. They win the World Series. He goes to L.A. to win the World Series. And in both cases, he's an enormous part of it, right? And he plays with – there's something so exciting about watching him play because he has passion for the game. And you can always see that in athletes, like who really loves it. This dude loves it. Mike Trout – looks like a football player who they taught to play baseball and has ridiculous talent, right? Mookie Betts just looks like a little baseball player. Yeah, And Ryan Clark was a football player, but we did not talk football this week because there are other stuff on. By the way, real quick, Bones Jones, you like what he said about Habib? You think he is the GOAT, Jones?
I think Jones is the GOAT, to be honest with you, and not because I think that he has always been the most dominant in every championship fight, but he's won 15 of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's about what he's done. And now, you know, I text you about any combat sport that happens, whether it was Lopez, Lomo, obviously Habib, Gaethje. That was, though, for a championship fight, probably one of the most dominant performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's
that,
listen.
Of a fight that...
I agree with you.
Close.
Habib hasn't done enough to call him the GOAT, but if you want to say the best I've ever seen, I got to think hard about that one. I think Fedor has a good argument. George St. Pierre has a good argument. I think Anderson Silva has a good argument, and I think people are forgetting that a little bit. Obviously, Bones, Jones, and Habib. Those are like, if I had to pick five, that's the argument among those five. The great Ryan Clark, ladies and gentlemen. You can see him all over ESPN NFL coverage and First Take, and maybe he starts doing some combat sports.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, also brought to you by Shell V Power Nitro Premium Plus Gasoline. Both Keyshawn and Jay Will are wrong. It's not enough to keep your mask on. You have to be isolated immediately if you have the coronavirus. Duh. Duh. It's very hard being the smartest man on earth, Raj. Very difficult sometimes. I feel very alone. Listen to me.
How do you do it?
But it's not even that I'm so smart. It's that in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Oh,
that's what
I
it
bet.
Is. On a planet full of people who can't think. By the way, Jay, Will, and Key are smart compared to the rest of you. That's what's scary. Listen, I understand their argument. Keyshawn's like, game's over. You won the World Series. You're going to celebrate. And Jay is like, keep your mask on at least. But let me tell everybody something. The reason everyone even feels this way is because of the level of irresponsibility, the level of selfishness and lack of regard for anyone else that we see at the highest levels of our government. That's why people feel this way. Understand, there's a pandemic in 1918, the so-called Spanish flu, right? Killed 50 million people worldwide. Back then, when the world's population was much smaller, and it hit the United States hard too. And what they found in studies of the 1918 pandemic is different cities had different outcomes in terms of how healthy or sick they were, what the death toll was, stuff like that. And you know what? And it wasn't just population density. You would think cities where people living closer to each other, it was worse. Not just that. That had an influence. Not just that. How early did they close up? How much social distancing did they do? And how much patience did they have? How long was the duration of the social distancing? The earlier they closed and the more patience they had, meaning the longer they did it, the better results, period. We knew all this going into this pandemic. Remember when we were told by the president. It's 15 people, soon to be zero. The White House, by the way, according to CNN, listed ending the coronavirus pandemic on a list of this administration's science and technology accomplishments. Ending the corona pandemic. That's the worst kind of lie and propaganda. I'd expect that in a communist or a fascist country, but that is fundamentally un-American, that level of propaganda. And it has had a trickle-down effect in our country where people are just doing stupid things. Now, let me say this. I understand, in fact, the following. While the cases are higher than ever of COVID-19, there are more cases per day now than ever before, over 70,000. It's spiking again. And the cold weather hasn't even really gotten here yet in the Northeast. While that is the case, the fact also remains that the percentage of cases resulting in death has gone down significantly as a percentage because we know more about the disease now than we did 3 or 4 months ago. So the lowest estimates I've read, it's like 0.25% of people who have it, right? Resulting in fatalities. But even if I told you there's a 1 in 400 chance that if you got in this airplane, you're going to die, would you get on that flight? Or would you play Russian roulette even knowing it's only a 1 in 400 chance? You know, 399 times out of 400, you're going to be all right. But boy, that 1 out of 400, that's not a good enough, those are not good enough odds with your to play with your life.
Where are we going, Max?
Let alone getting very sick and all that, right? And it's not even about you. Like the social distancing and the mask wearing is not about you. It's about the most vulnerable among us. When you wear a mask, you're protecting other people. It's a selfless act, right? Okay. So Justin Turner, who had every reason to want to celebrate, he was a weak hitting infielder with the Mets originally. The Dodgers picked him up, and he's been raking since then. To find a third baseman who can play the position and hit like Justin Turner is not easy at all, even in this Major League Baseball era. It's not easy. He's been fantastic. I understand why he'd want to celebrate. Sucks that he can't, but he should not have. Jessica Mendoza was on First Take today arguing, look, if you leave it up to the individual, of course they're going to go out there. That's why Major League Baseball shouldn't have left it up to the end. They should have made the decision. I agree with that. Baseball should have been the grown-ups here. The Dodgers should have been the grown-ups here. Justin Turner should have been a grown-up here. And I also understand that... I need 60 seconds, guys. I know they want me to break. I also understand this. Not only is the percentage of cases death toll down as a percentage of cases, but the cases are skyrocketing. But if you're outside, you're much safer than inside because it's the percentage of disease in the air versus the volume of air, right? So if you're outside, it's much safer, and they were outside. If you wear a mask, that's really effective in not spreading it. And not the entire time. He pulled his mask down with Dave Roberts sitting right next to him, almost 50 years old. And he kissed his wife. He might think, oh, my wife already has it if I have it. But he otherwise had his mask on the field. That's not good enough, people. Sorry you can't celebrate the World Series championship, but you were just diagnosed with the coronavirus. You have it. The fact that this is even an issue that people are talking about, he should have immediately quarantined himself. And baseball and the Dodgers and Justin Turner, someone needed to be the adult in the room. It's not about how he feels about it or how his teammates feel about it. It's how the elderly person who can't live their lives right now would like to live some more. The person with an underlying condition, like you understand, we have the worst case. The coronavirus didn't come here first, but we got it worst in the world. Why? Because of our handling of it. Not taking it seriously. Not really. This is an unserious response to a case of COVID-19 by Justin Turner, by the Dodgers, by Major League Baseball, and everyone involved deserves criticism.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know what this song reminds me of? You God has an autobiography. You can get it on like iBooks or whatever. What did he call it? I'm trying to remember. I don't remember offhand, but it was good. It was a fun read. And because didn't he have the first verse on, might have been the genius with the first verse on that song. Anyway, for a chance to win 10 grand plus a virtual meet and greet with the Dan Lebatard gang, text Lebatard to 77333. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Limit one entry per day. See advanceautoparts.com for details. All right. Go ahead, Raj. I'm ready. I'm ready, armed with no doubt and nah, son. Go ahead.
All right. Let's see. Let's see. First, let's take a listen to Trevor Lawrence.
There's a lot of factors in that, but honestly, just really playing this year, putting everything I have into it, not really focusing on next year, whether, you know, I leave or stay, whatever. Obviously, I have the option to do either one. Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. Just really focusing on this year, not trying to look ahead, not trying to worry about that. Obviously, I can't control it, and really just trusting that God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, whether that's close to home, where I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out.
Oh, may have to pray you don't go to the Jets. Let me ask you this. Trevor Lawrence should stay in school to avoid those miserable Jets.
Nah, son. I know he says God has a plan for him. Going to the Jets, it's like, that's the devil's plan, Raj. But still, the fact of the matter is that you can't, like, look, it's up to him. But I wouldn't be able to say no to millions of dollars knowing that my health is on the line. You know, not just like does my stock go up or down if I stay in school, but it's a full contact sport. And even if the quarterback's protected, tackle football, a whole nother season of it, I would take the money. But, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do.
Got to do what you got to do. All right, check it out. Bo Jackson said he'd average 350 to 400 yards in today's game because, quote, nobody wraps up and tackle no more.
This is Bo Jackson. Nah, son. Bo Jackson has become the grumpy old man, you know? Stop it, Bo. Bo was a beast, but you ain't averaging. How about this one? You're never getting 350 yards in any game. How's that? Try this one. You would never have 400 yards in any two games. Like, didn't he have, like, one 200-yard game, which was amazing? You ain't having two in a row. Like, I know it looks like no one wraps up and tackles, and Bo would be great in today's NFL. He'd be great in any NFL. But old-timers, you know, it's always the same thing. You heard old guy, I would have hit 500 in today's baseball. Oh, stop it.
Live it up. All right, hey, check it out. The Browns are better without Odell Beckham.
Ready for this? No doubt. And how about this one? Odell is better without the Browns. The problem is this. I suggested Odell get traded over a month ago. And the reason I said that on First Take and on this radio show, the reason I said that is not just that it's better for Odell, it's better for everyone involved. Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. have no chemistry, period. They got to be apart from each other. So, you know, like, what would I do if I was the Browns? I'd probably keep Odell and get rid of Baker. But if they're going to keep Baker, you got to get rid of Odell. These two are less than the sum of their parts.
Gotcha. Hey, it's National Chocolate Day. But check it out. Candy corn, though, is the best Halloween candy.
Oh, no doubt. And hold on. No, it's not that I love it. It's that because it's sickeningly sweet. It's that when you say best, I'm hearing that as like the quintessential Halloween candy, right?
You know what I mean.
Candy corn is the Halloween candy. Like, I used to play a game with my brother, my late great brother Sam, the king of all game, right? So it's like, what is the king of all beverages, right? You could go water, or you could go Coca-Cola. What's the king of all cars is a better example. You could go like a Rolls-Royce, or you could go like a Ford. In other words, is it the most popular one or the most accessible one, or is it the highest end thing, right? Or is it the thing that's quintessentially that thing? Like, what's the king of all condiments? Ketchup, obviously, right? Like, I prefer mustard, but ketchup is the king of all condiments. King of all Halloween candy is candy corn. Like, that's what it is. So, you know, that's how I would phrase it. Yeah. Even if I don't like it the best.
Well, I do. Eat every color at a one at a time. First the top part, then the middle orange,
yep.
and then the bottom, the yellow.
Yep, that's the right way to eat candy corn.
I like doing it. Yeah,
it's just too sweet, Raj. It's too
sweet. Candy.
Yeah, but how, I understand. But how much, you know, too much sweetness all at once. Up next, I'm going to answer the question hovering around this World Series. Should he or should he not have pulled him?